no other foundation than which is laid, that of Jesus Christ. And I would go over that, and I would go over that, and I would be thinking, well, I mean, what other foundation would there be? And as years went on, I realized that many Christians build on foundations that are not Jesus Christ. I also came to understand that this is referring to the person of the Lord Jesus, the resurrected person, the Son of the living God, that our foundation is our relationship with that person. That's the foundation that Paul says here that we're to build on. Years ago, late 70s, early 80s, it was said much more than it's said now. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And I've noticed over the years, not only have we gotten away from saying that, much of the body of Christ has gotten away from having a personal relationship with Jesus and has traded that with other things, for other things, causes, protests, even, unfortunately, church growth can take you away from relationship with Jesus. I'm building the church. I'm building the church with Jesus. I'm building the church. I'm doing ministry. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You're doing so much, your relationship has suffered. Any relationship that you have in your life, God to begin with, and any other relationship where there is not communication, it will die. Communication is the life flow of any relationship. Amen? Prayer is just simply communicating with God and God communicating with us. We've unfortunately wanted to make prayer so theological and so holy and so everything in theological terms. No, it's talking to God. And it's God talking to you. Amen? Now turn over to John chapter 1, please. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, we all know that's referring to Jesus, don't we? And we know that Jesus is the Word of God, don't we? So if I'm going to have a relationship with God, I'm going to have that relationship with Father God through His Word. His Word being the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that's the only way that I'm going to have a relationship with Father God. Now, at this point, let me explain a little bit to you about the Trinity 3-in-1. Which there are whole religions made up trying to refute this. Because with our human mind and our human wisdom and our human understanding and the finiteness of our 4-inch by 2-inch brain, It's difficult to comprehend that there could be three persons in one God. And the reason for that is we see everything as having a beginning and an end in this life that we're in on earth. It takes a while to get your mind renewed to the fact that you're living forever. God had no beginning. He has no end. He is the source of everything. We had a beginning, but we have no end. The Word says that the time we're here on earth is like a vapor. Now, think for a moment eternity, forever. Think for a moment a million years from now. And then think about 80 years. Against a million. We're just little tiny children. Amen? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word always was. And the Word was God. When we first got saved, and I had shared this a little bit, we had such a hunger for the Word of God. It wasn't a decision that we're making. Oh, we better get in the Word. Why? You cannot love God without loving the Word. Let me give you a little definition of loving that might give you some insight. And we hear people do this all the time, don't we? They love to do this. They love to play golf. They love to go to the beach. They love to, I love my house. I love this. I love that. Now that you may want to get rid of and understand that you love God and He gave us all that other stuff to enjoy. See, not for it to come into our life and cause us to say within ourselves, there's nothing else I would rather do than work on my house on the weekend. There's no one I would rather be with right now than who I'm with right now. That's who you love. There's nothing else I would rather do than be in the Word and hear from God. And I can't think of anything else I'd rather do right now. I have no desire to go anywhere else but to do that right now, to be in His presence and to get into His Word. How many of you know that when you love, to do is easy? You've all had things you love to do in your life, just the same as me. We're all the same. And boy, you look forward to it, and you planned on it, and you're just really hyped up over it. And when you get there, there's nothing else on your mind. Priscilla and I, we used to like to go to plays. And boy, that was a play. And when we're at that play, there's nothing. My enemy cannot get in there. No way. Hush up. I'm watching this play. I love it. Amen. To realize that there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. We love our children. We love our family. We love our grandchildren. There are times when we get with the grandchildren. And I could tell with her. There's nothing else she'd rather be doing right now than playing with them. Why? She loves them. Amen? Well, God loves us first, even when we were unlovable. And maybe we're not so lovable now. But he still loves us. Amen? Think about this a moment. In all that you've heard about Father God, it is impossible for the Lord God Almighty to do or say anything selfishly. All selfishness is sin. What would happen if God sinned? We would vanish, because all of the universe would come apart. Does it not say that right there in the first chapter of John, all things were what? Created through him. Which means everything in the universe is held together by his word. Why is that important for me to understand that? Yes, God loves me, but he's also committed to his word. Amen? That's very important for me to build a foundation in that. You know why? Because I've staked my life on what he's said. And I've staked all of eternity on what he says in his word. And I believe his word because I know the one who made the promise. You're believable only to the extent that people believe you for who you are. And there are people in my life that I could say without question, I know them, and they have never lied to me in 30 years. Their word is good. So would you not conclude how it is extremely important that it is my relationship with the Lord and knowing him and experiencing his word in my life that we build on? See, he's talking about building on, building, building. Abraham, at the very beginning, when God showed up, said, I'm God. And Abraham was just a pagan worshiper. And he said, I want you to come out of that land. He was Abram at the time. And if you study through that, you see the progression of Abraham's relationship with God continuing to grow to the point where then God could say to him, I want you to take Isaac. And in Hebrews chapter 11, in that request to sacrifice Isaac, in 11 it says, by faith Abraham took Isaac to do what God told him to do, knowing he had a promise from God, and knowing if need be, he would raise Isaac from the dead. And yet, what was he hearing? Something that seemed totally opposite of what the promise said. Amen? You see that? Well, why was he able to do that at that point? Because he'd been running with God for quite some time. And he had seen. He was rich. He was the wealthiest guy around. He was in the land that God had told him that he would give him. He was doing well. One of the things that we're needing to understand and the place that we want to go to, okay, is that place where our relationship with God is to the point where we know what He says is what He means, is what He'll do, and there's no turning back, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what anybody says to you. Look at John chapter 1. I'm sorry, look at John chapter 2. Verse 2:11. The beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. This is the beginning. This was where he turned the water to wine at the wedding. Amen? Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Well, what does that mean that he manifested his glory? Well, manifested always means revealed, appears. There was a revealing to them to where they could see who Jesus was. They could see his majesty. They could see that he was who he said he was. We talk about giving glory to God. We talk about seeing the glory of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, brothers and sisters, I will not be satisfied until I see the glory of God every day. That it become normal. It become the way that I live. The way that we live. Not satisfied until everyone who gathers in Glory Tabernacle, the glory of God shows up. Amen? Not just in one person, the pastor. No, in the body, in everyone, everyone involved. To the manifested glory of God. A dying world, a hurting body of Christ, people who are knocked out for the punch because the enemy put one over on them or whatever the case might be, or they got brokenhearted and they went away, or whatever the case might be, is crying for the glory of God, begging for the glory of God, begging to see the power and the glory of God show up. So much so that it's leading to heartache. I run into them every week. Every week. For a long time. Now, the first one who does not want that is God. He loves us. There's nothing he would rather do than to be with us. Father God does not love us because of Jesus. He loved us before and sent Jesus. You get that? See, we can get caught up and miss it. That the heart of the Father was love to begin with. You'll hear it taught that what Jesus did changed God. His big angry God smacking people down, wrath, big beard. See, and then Jesus came and all of a sudden he just kind of, this wishy-washy, nuh-uh. See, no. It didn't change him. He was always love. Past, present, and future. Always mercy. Always grace. And always truth. Amen? Be cautious that you don't hear too often about how terribly wretched we are, therefore we need the mercy and grace of God, and we were so emaciated, awful people, that God decided to have the mercy and come. In the teaching of grace, you'll hear that. Trust me when I tell you this. God valued us before he sent Jesus. God wasn't saying, how come you keep messing up? I got to do something for you guys. Wringing his hands. No way. And if you're not cautious about it, you'll get saved. You'll get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'll have a prayer language and you'll still go on thinking you're a mess. And I got to get better. And I got to do better. And I got to do more. So that God will love me. Deep. Wrong answer. He loved you. You want to know what the biggest need in the body of Christ is today? To know he loves us. The biggest need in the body is not for us to walk in love for him. God knows we try and fail miserably all the time. You know what it would mean to walk in love for God 24/7 with all your heart, soul, and mind? You can't have one selfish thought. The moment you had one selfish thought, you messed up. I have a number of those each day. You know? I can't do that. I got to have breakfast. But knowing he loves us. Knowing he loves us. Just the way we are. Now, it's one thing to kind of think that. It's another thing altogether to walk in it. See, once you understand and you realize and you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to show you how much God loves you, it changes your life. He loved us first, therefore we love him. There's always a pattern with God. There's always the thing that comes first before this comes. And unfortunately, we have been inundated with different kinds of teaching and this, that, and the other. Okay? In all over, you know, turn on the TV and you listen to this and you turn on the radio and years and books and this and tapes and all that. A lot of it good. I've learned. However, there's a caution there. I can't keep saying to you over and over, you gotta walk in love for God, you gotta walk for love, God, walk in love, you gotta walk in love for God, you gotta walk in love, God, and never tell you that He loves you. 1 John says, He loved us first. Now, I got this from John. I always liked John because I liked his name. What a surprise. Anyway, he kept saying over and over, the disciple who he loved, the disciple who he loved, the disciple who he loved, the disciple who he loved. They wanted to know who the traitor was or whatever it was. And John writes, the disciple who he loved, he's writing about himself, leaned on Jesus' breast. Disciple who he loved. I noticed that John didn't say the disciple who loved Jesus the most. It was always, and John was the one they couldn't kill. Boil them in oil. Couldn't kill him. I don't think that was the first try. To the point where they had to banish him. And in those days, when you were banished to Patmos, it was a death sentence. No one was expected to come back. Prison was means death. That's the reason why Paul writes how he does about prison and how many times he's thrown in. Every time he went to prison, they expected him to die because that's what happened in those days. They didn't feed you. They didn't bring you bread and water. When he wrote and said, thank you for the provision you brought me, they brought him food to live. Yet God delivered me out of all of them. And then he gives us a hint in Romans. He says, neither tribulation, problems, prison, and he lists a whole bunch of stuff, will separate me from the love of God. I want you to know something. The enemy works overtime, puts in extra hours to try to convince the people of God that God don't love them. Huge attack area. Unfortunately, some people believe that lie. And when that happens, it gets worse. Can you see that? Jesus is the Word. And everything that we have, know, experience, that comes alive from God is through the Word. And the Word says, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son that I should believe and have eternal life. And the Word defines eternal life, and Jesus defined it as what? Knowing God. What is eternal life? Knowing him. Knowing him. Knowing him. You see sometimes in these TV stories or whatever there is, in a story about someone's accused of a robbery or they're accused of this or they're accused of a crime and the other person says, they couldn't have done it. Well, how do you know? Where's the proof? Because I know them. That's the proof. God did not send the hurricane. Why? Because I know Him. Amen? God wasn't judging America with 9/11. Why? Because I know Him. Well, that ought to make it real simple for us, shouldn't it? To understand what's coming from God into our life and what isn't trying to come, what's coming, trying to come into our life that is not from God. Amen? But why do you know that isn't from God? Why do you know that sickness and disease is not from God? Why do you know that poverty is not from God? Why do you know that lack? Because I know Him. Amen? There's two ways to really get to know Him real well. And they go together. The Word of God by the Spirit. You can't have one without the other. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just this without the Spirit doesn't work. You get that letter thing, and that letter thing doesn't bring life. Well, why doesn't it bring life? Well, how do we have eternal life? By knowing Him. You know, the people that know God the least are the people that are trying to do the most for Him, who are trying to serve Him the hardest, who are trying to do all the Ten Commandments. All the time. And actually think they're making some headway. We can't even get past the first one. I don't need to tell anybody 2 through 10. All I got to do is tell them 1. You shall not have any gods before me or alongside of me. Children of Israel, what they broke the first 1.5 hours. Why did they build that golden calf? Idol. Idols. 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 I love my house. Love my car. I love to whatever it is you love. Well, right there's a little issue, isn't there? Amen? Now let me just say this. Everything begins with what you say. Not what you think. I believe, therefore I spoke. We all have the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I spoke. Do you believe God loves you? Only to the extent that I'm willing to say it. And nothing else. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. God loves me. Thank you, Lord. You love me. You love me. You love me. Something happens. And it's not pretty. Now what are we saying? Are we still saying, thank you, God, you love me, you love me, you love me? Well, Pastor John, what if I have an issue with that? go back to the one you know. Don't try harder. Don't get underneath it. Don't get under condemnation and guilt or any of that nonsense. Go back to the one who loves you. Father, here I am. I'm having a little issue over there. Can you help me out? Will he help you? Certainly. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whose need? My need. God has no need. Amen? But it's because the foundation is there and solid and fixed in our life that my relationship with God is secure. Because Jesus secured it, forgiven of all sin, forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future, and that he went to the cross for me, he was resurrected from the dead for me, I was raised up with him, and therefore my relationship with God can never be destroyed, no matter what I do. And I can go back to him anytime, with anything, no matter what. There's good news. And that he has made me righteous with his righteousness. He has put me in right standing with him. He has justified me. Jesus, what he did, had God the Father say, not guilty, not guilty, everything's paid for. And not only that, to me, you are like Jesus. Forever. We have to be aware that it's the foundation of our relationship with God that we're building on. And that relationship is secure. It cannot be taken away. Why do you think he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you? It's his kids leaving him. He didn't leave him. He didn't leave Adam. He went looking for Adam. Oh, that sin is so ugly to God. The reason sin is ugly to God is because it's death. His love for Adam and Eve was no different before they ate from the tree or after. Oh, gee, I can't love you anymore. We count ourselves with our children to be better than God. Lord knows my children have messed up. Our love for them never changed. When one of my sons skipped school and I got the call, his son wasn't in school today. I didn't go, I don't love him anymore. Serves him right. But yet we think God does that. So God says, I'm your father. And we think every earthly father is capable of more than what Father God is. Now when you think about that, you can only say one thing. That's crazy. But I've had people argue and fight me over that. But he's God. Well, what does that mean to you then? That he's God. He may be God to you, but he's my Father God. Amen. And here's the real large part of the good news. He has given you the spirit of adoption. That he calls you son. And in that we are sons and daughters, we have the inheritance. And what is the inheritance? Everything he's got. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Everything. And he got no bad things. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen? And I want to tell you this forever and ever. Don't forget this ever, ever, ever. It's free. There is no cost. There's no cost. It's free. And I want to tell you, next month, it's still free. No cost. Next year, it's still free. No cost. Oh, I messed up. It's still free. No cost. I made a mistake. It's still free. No cost. Amen? Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on what is good, praiseworthy. Set your mind on all. Set your mind on this week, would you? It's free. There's no cost. I don't have to pay for it. If you happen to make a mistake or sin, it's paid for. It's paid for. I can tell you, you know 10 Christians, born-again people, each one of you, you know them by name who need to hear that. It's paid for. You know why? Because they're trying to pay for their sin. And it's killing them. And they're sad. They're not happy. They're not joyful. Because they don't know that. Paid for. Well, you all understand, I got to feel better. I got to get the guilt off. I got to do this. I got to do that. There is nothing better than Jesus' blood that you could possibly do that will cause that guilt to go away. As a matter of fact, the more you try, the worse it gets. It's paid for. It's free. No cost. Now it's free to us. It costs God everything. The price was big, but it's free to us. Receive it. Enjoy it. Walk in it. Talk in it. Live in it. I've told this before. I'm going to close with this. We have 6 children. They're all out of the house. The 2 oldest ones are in their 30s. And every time they come to our house, the 2 oldest ones especially, they just walk in the door. They don't knock. They don't ring the doorbell. They don't do anything like that. Dave, our 2nd oldest, he'll walk in the door. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hi. And you know what he does? He goes to the refrigerator. You got anything to eat? Find something in there. He doesn't say, can I have that? Can I eat that? Is that okay? No. He just starts making a sandwich. And then he actually comes in the living room sometimes, and he'll sit down and take the remote and turn that TV on to some sports program or something. And hey, Dad, look at this. It's not even his house. He knows he's part of the family. He knows that's forever. He knows no matter how much he messes up, he can still come there and get a sandwich. He doesn't come in crawling. He doesn't come in begging. And he especially doesn't come in and say, I've been real good today. Can I have a sandwich? Now, I have two son-in-laws married to the daughters. Great guys. Blessing of the Lord. And at each one of their weddings, I did a blessing. And one of the things I said to them is, you are to us exactly as our sons. Whatever I would do for them, I'll do for you. In the name of Jesus, you have my word. They still come to our house and ring the doorbell. They still come in and they will just come in and, is there anywhere I can sit? Now, one of them is the 6 years, 5 years married, and the other couple years. One of them still calls me Mr. Yaman. I don't let anybody call me Mr. Yaman. I tell them, don't call me that. Call me something else. Call me whatever you can dream up. But he still does it because he feels uncomfortable. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the difference between Joe and Dave, our sons that grew up with us, and the other two? They did not believe what I said at the wedding. Because if they had believed it, what would they have done? Walked in, gone to the refrigerator, made a sandwich. They've seen him do it. See? So what was the difference? The difference is our boys that grew up, okay, number one, know us real well. Number two, they know they're in right standing with us no matter what. And that whatever we have is theirs. They know that. The others didn't believe, and that altered their behavior, what they believe. If they had believed me that you are like our sons to us, would they not have at least been a little more comfortable? If they had believed it at that time. Well, this is us with God. Bottom line, what do you believe? I'm going to pray this morning and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us in our believing. Anybody up for that? Remember the fellow went to Jesus, had the son they couldn't cast the demon out? Your guys, I brought him to your guys, and I couldn't do it. And Jesus spoke to him, and what was the man's response? I believe, help my unbelief. Now, Jesus then cast the demon out of the little boy. Let me ask you a question, and I want somebody to give me an answer. Did Jesus help him with his unbelief? How? How did he help him with his unbelief? Anybody familiar with that passage? By doing it. Absolutely. Take an A. He went ahead and did it. I thought God couldn't do anything if there was unbelief. Whoops. Uh-oh. Gee. I thought it didn't happen because my faith wasn't strong enough. I thought I failed because my faith wasn't my faith, and you're focused on your faith and not on Jesus. Did Jesus meet the Father's need, set the boy free, after the man said, "Help my unbelief"? Can I tell you something? God enjoys honesty a whole lot more than he does anything else. I've gone to the Lord. "Lord, I know what you're telling me, but I'm struggling with this. Believing." Because let me tell you something. It's still free. And it doesn't cost. He healed the boy. He cast out the demon by his mercy and his love. God doesn't heal us because we're just big, huge faith people. He doesn't meet our need because we're big, huge faith people. He does it because he loves us. And really and truly, Jesus, here's what God wants in the development of our faith. He does not want us to live a life here on earth in the here and now, where we're constantly having to use our faith to have our needs met. He wants all things to be added unto us. What he's looking for is those who develop their faith to use it for someone else, to use it for your family, to be saved, set free, and so forth. To use it that others may go free. That we can focus on that. He wants Glory Tabernacle body of believers, local fellowship, to be strong and strong in faith. Okay? So we could see hundreds and thousands set free. Jesus never had to use his faith to get his need met. Now, we do say, don't we, that Jesus was a man like we are, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've gone down that road already and kind of took that away and said we can function like Jesus did. Didn't we? Am I past you or are you there? Jesus emptied himself of all deity, all divine power, came as a man in the likeness of man, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and functioned that way on earth. So Jesus didn't do anything we can't do. Amen? Now, where in there did you see Jesus grinding over having his need met? Or trying to get healed? Or trying to, what? Always. His faith was always set the captives free. Heal the brokenhearted, feed the 20,000, turn the water to wine, on and on and on. Wouldn't it be great to go through one day that we know God so well, we go through one entire day where we don't think about our need once, ever, nothing for a day. We just leave it all up to God. Wouldn't that be great? Is there anybody there with that? But you know, we're not going to get there unless you see it in here. Seeing it in here. Seeing it in here. Amen? How many agree that'd be a good place to be? Because that's the place of rest. Where I'm not having to think about what I got to do to pay a bill. I'm not having to think what I have to do to meet a need. I'm not having to try to figure out. I'm not having to address the question, what are we going to do now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you right now for your word. And Lord, I thank you, you do love us. And I thank you, Lord, that you do reveal to us your will, your purpose. And we know, Lord, that your will and your purpose is that we be whole, that we be at rest, that we be free, that we not be in bondage to anything. And I thank you for that right now. Now, Lord, I thank you for moving by your Holy Spirit, who you've sent to us to counsel and help us. And I pray right now, Lord, that you help us in areas of unbelief, that you expose where that unbelief may be a hindrance, that unbelief may be slowing us down, that you reveal to us the truth of that. But we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, that even though that may be there, you move on our behalf. You meet our need. You take care of things. But most of all, you hear us. And we know that when you hear us, you answer. And we have what we've asked for. I thank you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. And continue, Lord. We commit to you that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord, for continuing to finish our faith, continuing to supply what is lacking in our faith, Lord. That we can say what Paul said, I've run the race, I've finished the course. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Now, most of all, I thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us all things freely, and there is no cost. And we believe you. We believe what you say. We receive what you say, that every need is met, that everything's taken care of, that you watch over us, that you protect us. In the name of Jesus, amen.